This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Negotiators at the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris have reached a rough blueprint for reining in emissions and reducing global warming. Many issues remain, and those will need to be resolved by summit's end tomorrow. In this country, the Citizens Climate Lobby, or CCL, has a plan to reduce carbon emissions with a fee and dividend program. Wharton Sinclair is a CCL chapter leader for the Northwest Chicago suburbs, and Rick Knight is the state co-coordinator for the CCL. Sinclair says the Citizens Climate Lobby has a contingent of volunteers participating in the Paris summit.
Well, we have about 30 volunteers who have gone over there, and we have a lot of preparation and planning to bring our particular perspective on climate legislation up to the fore in Paris, and I think that's to a large extent happened. At this conference, as opposed to many previous conferences, the idea of a market-based or price-based mechanism to deal with global warming has been a big one.
And we'll get into that legislation in just a moment. Rick, what do you think of the progress and the possibility of a meaningful agreement and then implementation following the global climate summit in Paris?
Yeah, our take on it has been that there has been some progress. Of course, it's difficult to get 196 nations to agree to anything. But we think that a lot of the progress will be taking place after the conference with other groups that are working with nations to implement what we would call honest carbon pricing.
In this country, the Citizens Climate Lobby is suggesting legislation creating a fee on fossil fuels and the resulting dividend going to homeowners. How does this work to reduce carbon and address global warming?
It creates an incentive. When the fee would be placed on fossil fuels at the mine, wellhead, or port of entry, based on the amount of carbon in the fuels, and what that will do is to propagate through the market. So if you have goods that are made with more carbon versus goods that are made with less carbon, it's going to be a price differentiator for those goods. So it's going to affect millions and millions of small decisions that people make every day. And will tend to push our consumption behavior towards less and less carbon.
Yeah, we expect, too, that investors will really be affected just as much as consumers and businesses to make decisions that will reduce their exposure to the fee by choosing more renewable energy, more low carbon, or high efficiency ways of making their products and services.
So walk me through this a little bit. A fee imposed $15 a ton to start with at the wellhead or at the mine, wherever these fossil fuels are coming from. And then that trickles upward toward the products that these carbon materials end up in. So plastic materials would end up costing more, gasoline would end up costing more. Is that the way you see it working?
Yes, that's true. I mean, all of the goods that directly contain carbon, but also, for example, food goods that come from a great distance would be at a disadvantage relative to locally grown food. Farms that operate with lower fossil fuel inputs or are able to raise their crops with less fossil fuel inputs would see a benefit in terms of their pricing in the marketplace.
And then the answer for all of us who have to pay more for these products because of the fee that's been imposed up front is the dividend. Talk
exactly
a little bit about that.
The dividend is a uniform dividend per adult with a half share for each child. It would go to all households in the U.S. and would essentially compensate, would return all of the revenue from the carbon fee to households. So it's not really, I mean, we have a debate internally often about whether to call the carbon fee a tax or a fee, and we're not afraid of the word tax, but we consider a fee to be an accurate statement because all of the money is returned to the public. And in a way, it's just as fair to say that this is a mechanism for paying people to use less carbon in terms of the dividend as it is to call it a tax or a fee that they pay into.
And an important distinction is that the money that the households get from the carbon dividend is not in proportion to their energy use. So those who conserve or use less, use public transportation, whatever decisions they make, will actually come out ahead.
How did the CCL arrive at a starting cost of $15 per ton of carbon, Rick?
That's a good question. We wanted to start relatively low. That would add about 1.5 cents to a gallon of gasoline, or 15 cents, I should say, to a gallon of gasoline, which is manageable, you know, definitely within the price swings we've seen. And we wanted to escalate rather quickly so that businesses and investors have the anticipation effect of seeing that investing in low-carbon alternatives will be beneficial to them.
And is there any idea at this point of what kind of funds that fee will generate? What's the per-household breakdown? I guess the ultimate question is how much am I going to get?
In that first year with the $15, the adult recipient would get about $25 a month in dividends. And for a family of four, of course, that would scale accordingly. And that would increase every year by that $10 compared to $15 per year.
So the CCL sees an economic benefit to this dividend. Can you talk a little bit about that, Wharton?
Yes. The dividend goes uniformly to all households, and it really puts cash into people's pockets. That creates a stimulus effect on the economy. So we've done some economic modeling with a group called REMI, Regional Economic Models Incorporated, and the net impact on jobs and GDP is actually positive from carbon fee and dividend. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're not removing money from the economy. We're actually we're distributing money to households which are likely to spend it. And we're also triggering a lot of investment because businesses will know that the future that is coming needs to be a lower carbon future, so they will be investing in renewable energies, low carbon energies, and that will also be a stimulus for the economy.
And the dividend is designed to actually pay for the increased energy costs. They don't have to spend it
on
that. They can spend it on whatever they want. But talk a little bit about the energy costs. You said gasoline would go up about 15 cents per gallon. What about home heating bills?
Home heating bills would go up about 3 to 4% based on that original $15 a ton carbon fee, and would scale accordingly. And of course, the dividend goes up accordingly as well. Electricity made by coal would actually go up the most, but we've already seen such a shift towards renewables and natural gas, which has much lower carbon emissions, that it would just accelerate a trend that's already taking place.
Lower income households have less to spend, and they spend a greater percentage of the net income on energy. How will lower income households be affected, and will the dividend cover the increase in energy costs they have to pay?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question that we've paid a lot of attention to. Our calculations show that the lower income households will come out quite a bit ahead, because even though they pay a larger percentage of their income on energy, that's mainly because their income is so low to begin with. We calculate that in that first year, lower income households on average would see their income increase by about 2.5% just based on that dividend.
Rick Knight is the state co-coordinator for the CCL. Wharton Sinclair is a CCL chapter leader for the Northwest Chicago suburbs. At our website, hear Sinclair and Knight talk about why fee and dividend is better than cap and trade, and how others can become involved in the citizens' climate lobby. You're listening to Sound Ideas.